I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good afternoon. Welcome to Monday, July 11th. This is The Memo. I'm Derek Russell, joined by Brad Locke. Brad, how are you doing today?
Hey, man.
Welcome back. How's it
going? I'm back. Hey.
I want to talk about your vacation, but...
Is this on? I think I forgot how to podcast.
It's fine. You're good to go. I'd love to talk about your vacation. However, I'd rather talk about your skylight.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not really a skylight because the second floor is above it.
Well, so that's just an inappropriate skylight.
Or like an attic light. I'm just seeing to the attic now.
Question. Judging by the image you posted on your social media account, did you turn off the air conditioning when you left the house for the week?
No, probably should have.
No, you should not have. I assume that's what did it.
No, I didn't.
Did you turn it up really, really high?
No, I just left it like normal.
Okay. All right.
But the problem is, the way the thing...
If you turn off your unit in this kind of heat, the condensation will flood your drip pan and will overflow, and I assumed that's what happened.
No, we did not turn it off, which I never have on a trip. I didn't think that would be a thing to do.
Yeah, but it's not. Okay. Not in this heat.
I know nothing.
October is one thing, but you know.
Right. But no, the long story short, the way the unit is set up, not to get into the details, but... It seems like humidity easily can get into there, and it's not as dry a place as it should be. And I think when it maybe, I don't know, when we had, I mean, it's very humid, obviously, at this time of year around here. That may have been what happened. But basically, yeah, there's a leak from the bottom of the AC unit, and it's right over the entryway to the front door. And so we get home Sunday night for vacation. We go in there, and the entryway is just covered in water, and the ceiling is sagging and bubbled up. And had a friend come over with his wet dry vac yesterday and got some of it off the floor.
So you came home Saturday night to this. Is that correct?
Yeah, Saturday night.
Because I remember you also saying you were at the pool, and I'm like, well, you just really said screw it and went and got in the pool, didn't you, when you came in and saw all that?
No. Yesterday was...
Although you could have a pool in the atrium there where you flooded.
So I was by the pool last night after a long, long day.
Sorry.
Enjoying the last of my vacation with a beer and a cigar.
Well, let's look at the positives. You could put in a pole.
I could.
Slide right down.
I don't know how to get to it because, again, you can't get over to the other side of the unit.
Go through the attic, climb over, down the pole. It works. It works.
Sure it does.
Just go for that. You get a new light, probably.
Well, it hadn't got to the light fixture yet, but we are going to have to replace at least part of the ceiling. I don't know how that
works.
You're going
to have a new light. Look at that. Yeah, you sure the water hadn't gotten into that?
We checked, and it had not yet, but you never know. Yeah. We'll have a professional come check that hopefully today. I've already sent in the work request. New home, and so it's still under warranty.
You might be safe.
The home warranty should cover most of this.
Should be in the operative word there.
Yeah. I mean, I did turn the AC off last night for upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
That's the unit. The upstairs unit was leaking. So it's going to kind of suck today for my kids up there if they stay up there and it hasn't got fixed yet. I don't know how long it's going to take.
Well.
But, yeah, anyway, my friend had the wet dry vac and he sucked a lot of it out of the ceiling too, and that kind of accelerated the inevitable collapse of the ceiling.
You did go ahead and pull down the excess, did you not?
Not yet.
No, you did just hang in there.
I don't know what to do with it.
The trash would be a
well. It
place
happened
kind
of late at night last night, and I was like,
"Was it last night or Saturday night?"
The leak was discovered Saturday night. The ceiling didn't fall in till last night.
Ah, I see. Right. Yeah. Where were you on April 14th, 2002? And was there a payphone outside the Best Buy?
April 14th, 2002. I was in North Carolina, probably.
You don't know that. You can't be
That's
certain.
Where I was living and working at the time.
I'm just trying to corroborate your story. That's all.
Have you ever
been
to Lincoln Park?
Yeah.
What?
I'm just trying to corroborate your story is all and make sure it all matches up. We'll be interviewing the kids later and make sure that everything, you know.
I'm sure, yeah. And the internet went out last night.
Goes together.
Because why not? And the washing machine is broke.
Oh.
That happened the day we were leaving for vacation.
Is it broke or broken?
It's broken.
Okay.
It happened the day we were leaving for vacation.
Oh, well, that's a good time for it to happen.
So everything's just awesome right now.
Yeah. Probably got damaged in the move.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Or you got a clog or something.
What's wrong with the internet, Brad?
I don't know. It just went out and it won't work. Hmm. Can't get it back up. I mean, we got old lines in the house.
You don't have the server or the router sitting
in that
general area.
No,
do
we
you?
Don't.
I was going to say that might have something to do with it.
But the swimming pool still works great.
Yeah. Yes.
Pool's good.
Although I've got to go shock it today because it's getting a little discolored or cloudy. I'm still trying to learn pool maintenance.
Home ownership's also, great, isn't it?
Don't mean to concern you, but there's a ghost in this image. A little girl hiding in your house while we're listing things.
I didn't see that the first time I looked at it.
That was not put on the inspection report.
No, it wasn't.
It's fine. See those two glowing eyes down there? You think I'm kidding, but she's down there.
I don't see what.
Right there.
Brad.
I don't know what that is. It's kind of creepy.
Let me in.
Two green
light
type things.
Does that not look like a face?
Hold on. I don't see a face.
Look at that down there in the bottom pane. That looks like a face. I see two eyes, a nose, and a mouth.
Yeah, but I thought you were talking about the green glow.
Well, that just enhances it.
The green glowing lights.
Do you have it pulled up over there, Chris?
I do.
I don't know. Maybe.
That is a face down there.
I think you need to.
You are haunted.
Well, perhaps I don't need to call the AC guy then. I need to call the Ghostbusters because what's causing the problems.
That's why you need the pole.
It's a poltergeist.
I hate to tell you, but that's a fictional film, Brad. That's not going to do you any good. And this damage is real.
We've got poltergeists in the house.
Your cup's leaking too.
My cup's leaking.
You're just not having a good day, are you? That's what happens when you go on vacation for 4 years, come back and everything's broken.
Apparently.
Or broke.
Broke. Sometimes I like to talk like a redneck.
Sometimes.
To remind me of my roots, because I am one. I are one.
That's very good. Well, I hope everything comes out well. And that poltergeist that's down there, I hope.
I don't know if that's covered by the warranty.
I hope that's Casper, the friendly ghost. The good news is she appears to be on the outside.
Yes. You know what? The funny story.
You have to invite her in. That's what happens.
I need to get my daughter to retell this story. She swears, and she's not one to make things up. She swears that she saw a ghost a few months ago, and I can't remember where she saw it.
Seems like you'd remember that kind of thing.
Well,
it was seen.
She knows. I just can't remember where she said she saw it. I just remember her
in the
telling
house,
us.
Like where in the house.
Yeah, and I can't
in
remember
the new
if it was
house?
Our house. It may have been when we were visiting.
These are really important details. You're skipping over. You have buried the lead completely on this.
Well, just reminded me of it.
This is my daughter talking.
It was a few months ago. It may have been at. No, I know where it was.
Oh, okay.
I think it was at her grandparents' house in St. Louis.
Okay.
Yes, it was by their pool.
So we're at least 6 hours away from one.
She was out by their pool one night, and she swears there was a lady out there dressed in white, and then after a few moments, she disappeared.
Morville people.
Again, I don't know if they've made it that far yet.
The trek north has been very...
I have to ask her about
like
that
the Oregon
again.
Trail.
Maybe have her on here. We'll have a maybe come Halloween. We'll have a ghost stories.
That woman in white died of dysentery, and now she's just hanging out at the pool.
We should have a ghost stories edition come Halloween for this.
I got
podcast.
One for you.
Go
look
ahead.
In your door, bottom left hand. There's one right there.
Just outside the window there.
She might be inside and just like hanging out down
there.
I'll
have to further examine that photo at a later date.
I don't know. That's a face right there.
I don't know, man. I'm not sure about
that. I hate to tell you, but enhanced.
My new house is haunted.
Look.
House was built in 78.
I can't brighten it up anymore.
It had one.
I'll put it in Photoshop, but those are two eyes.
It had one previous owner, and the owners are still living.
And she's dead.
No, they're alive.
She's been dead for 40 years.
They're fine.
Look, it's a face, Brad. It's right there.
I can't figure out what the green things are. What's
you? Stop looking at the green things. The pane below the green things.
I'm trying to brighten my screen.
Yeah.
Here. And I can't get any closer zoomed in. I don't know.
It's like
how.
The kid from Three Men and a Baby.
Gosh, I haven't seen that one in forever.
The ghost in the background, which is really just a cardboard cutout of Steve Guttenberg. Chris sees it. There's a face.
My screen's too dusty.
There's a face.
I'll examine this later. I don't know about that. I see nothing but darkness. Oh, wait, that's every day.
Well, with a skylight like that, maybe you'll get some new light in.
I'm more buggy about these two weird green lights because we don't have lights like that outside the house.
Maybe those are your fingers.
Maybe it's a reflection somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, the back of her head.
I'll investigate this and report back Wednesday.
Please
with more.
Do. And then we find out Brad's been dead for 4 years. I think you should put a skylight in though, because then you'll know if it's flooding. If you go in and you see water above you, you have an issue.
Yeah.
And glass, you know, not as easily breakable as sheetrock.
True.
So, there you go. Drywall.
Hmm.
Good stuff. All right. Full episode today.
Oh, yeah.
Dennis Sid is going to be joining us to discuss escape rooms.
Escape rooms.
And we actually went to one last Thursday night.
Yeah, I saw a picture of that. What was that about?
We went to, we beta tested.
Gotcha. Was that the new one that hadn't opened yet?
That's the one that is not open. There were going to be like four in the area, but apparently now some of them realized maybe we shouldn't do this if there's going to saturate the market. So there's two. There's one open over on Cliff Gookin called Deadbolt that's been open for a little over a week now. And then we went to Paradox, which is on North Gloucester.
Okay.
Upwards from Woody's. So
cool.
We're going to be discussing that as well as Bobby Harrison joining us from Jackson. I think he's been on vacation as well. So we'll hear from Bobby, and Michaela Morris is going to be joining us. So we're going to go ahead and get started with today's. No, we're not.
No, hold on. I hate to disappoint people, but no crime reports today. I was off last week, so I didn't have any.
Start researching.
But however, our crime reporter, William Moore, is my hero. He just emailed me a week's worth of crime reports. I just haven't had a chance to look at them, so we'll do crime on Wednesday, if y'all can wait.
I can't wait.
Not too bad. Or you can go look at them today.
Oh, God, Brad, there's a ghost living in your house. God only knows what's going to happen in the next 48 hours. Time is precious.
I'll have them up on
You need to skydive. You need to do everything on your bucket list over the next day or so.
I'll have them up on tipsheet.djournal.com later today.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Let's get started. Dennis Sid joining us now to discuss escape rooms.
Escape.
Hey, we escaped from a room. Actually, we were let out of a room. We didn't really escape, did we?
We escaped, just not on time.
I don't think, I never actually tried it, but at one point all the doors were open, and I wanted to be like, hey, guys, we could just leave. We're not locked in here at all. We went as a group last Thursday night to the Paradox Escape Rooms and Games on North Gloucester Street. But that's not the only one that is opened here in our fair hamlet.
That's right. We have we also have in Corinth, the Corinth Escape Room, which opened back in December, I believe. Get Out Starkville, which opened around March or April.
Corinth has been open for a while.
Yeah, about 6 or 7 months, I think.
Compared to the other ones, yeah. Now, have you done any, before.
And Deadbolt and Tuple.
And Deadbolt, the other one in Tuple. I mentioned that one before you came on. You've done one before, but it was not any of these around here.
Yeah, I went to Memphis last summer, and we escaped with 8 minutes to spare.
Comparatively, that one was easier?
That one had a lot of locks. A few more locks. Not Brad locks, but, combination locks, key locks. And it had a few more things to try to figure out. We don't want to give away the
Not at all. Brad's new house, actually, an escape room. You have to get away from the dripping air conditioning unit above you.
Apparently, there's a portal there,
and then if you get to the front door, you have to answer questions from a ghost.
Otherwise, you fall into the hell mouth.
Yes. Also, the washing machine does not work.
No, it doesn't.
Not really sure what that has to do with the game, but
that would be a great name for an escape room: Hell Mouth.
Copyright infringement from
going to business.
Paramount and
Derek. Something went up.
Whoever else had Buffy. Warner Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Love that show.
Sure you do. Your house is turning into one.
Yes. Need to call Buffy.
We can't really give away too much of what we did, obviously. They are going to update the rooms every so often with new trials and tribulations to get through. Right now, they have the Houdini room at Paradox, which is the one we did. It takes place in 1910. And the spy Cold War escape room set in 1980 as well. We did not try that one. However, I walked through it before all the doors were open and probably wasn't supposed to. I walked through the entire thing and I really wanted to sit there and try that one after all was said and done. And as much as I enjoyed the Houdini room.
I think that's opening in a couple weeks.
I enjoyed the Houdini room because of the group we took with us. I think that was that was key. That was integral to what we accomplished that evening. They're still working through a few things.
It was a beta test.
It was a beta test for us, so we were doing our best. There were six of us. They recommend six minimum for the Houdini room at Paradox because... there was definitely a job for everybody to do in that room.
We could have used a couple more brains.
We probably, or some just better ones of ourselves. Yeah. We probably should have sit there and
a little more organization. But hey.
We were frantic, and the ticking hourglass did not help matters whatsoever. No. It made things very nerve-wracking. Chris, a question from Chris Kiefer. Yeah.
Why do you think, you mentioned they've all started recently, Corinth in December and so forth. I mean, why do you think it's happening so much, so quickly?
Well, it's been around for about a decade or so. It got started in Japan and then made its way into Asia and Eastern Europe. And then it finally made its way to the States in about 2012, West Coast, and then slowly spread to, the larger cities.
As most things happen 8 years later, yeah. They're just getting to us.
And, you're right. It's just blown up quickly. Last year, there were about 500, 600 or so at this time. And now there are two times, three times that number across the U.S. And it's just something, another form of entertainment. If you go back in the video game age, there were these escape room type games you get in. This is sort of the live action version, sort of like playing Clue and puzzle, trying to figure out puzzles and riddles and figuring out all the clues, and you get an hour, and it's a really immersive experience. You have a team of 6, 8, 10 people. I mean, everybody has to do something or should do something, just figure out the clues, and it's just something that will catch on. How soon this, how if it's a fad, who knows.
Never having been, explain what it's like. I mean, I've got a general understanding, but I mean, without giving anything away, you mentioned locks, you sort of mentioned technology. Yeah. What sort of things are you just trying to do?
I think that's hard to explain without giving anything away, almost.
Essentially, you're inside a room, perhaps.
Or a series of rooms.
And you're given these, your goal is to try to escape, to get out. And there are clues that you have to find and figure out. It could be any kind of puzzle or clue to try to figure out.
Have to problem solve your way out.
Yeah.
I would stink at it. I'm the worst problem solver.
You can't break anything. You can't kick in the door.
IT specialists should be excellent at these things. They asked us what our strong suits were going in, and I think every single one of us said, we just don't let there be any math. We can't do math once we get in there.
Hey, I'm Asian.
Well, that's what I said, but nobody seemed to appreciate that. Just kidding. We did have our cell phones, but that only helped us when we needed light.
Yeah.
They were very adamant that Google will not help you when you get in that room, and they were very correct. Google would not help.
Nope, not at all.
Siri was a total jerk. What's worse is, they're watching you the whole time.
Yes.
The hourglass is one thing, but there's cameras at every corner, and that they're just sitting there enjoying, torturing you.
And every room is different. You'll be given some clues, maybe 3, maybe 5 clues by the game masters who are indeed watching you, laughing, hoping you do something right or wrong.
I think ours got a good laugh of us.
Oh, yeah.
They were having trouble staying in character coming in to join us in the room every so often. We should have just pushed the guy down and ran. I mean, he had the door open when he came in. We could have gotten out easily. I was a little worried about being claustrophobic in there. It was kind of... I can't imagine having 10 people in that second room.
Ooh.
I mean, yeah. 6 was kind of, we were kind of knocking against each other, and that was where we were for 55 minutes or 54 minutes or whatever it was. It's actually longer because they paused it at one point because it let us get back on track a little bit.
Yeah, we kind of fell off the rails there for a little bit. Oops. But yeah, people should check it out. Read the Sunday Journal yesterday and with my great story. Well, my story in it. And you'll sort of get an idea of what's out there.
It's good team building.
Absolutely.
I think definitely coworkers or friends going.
You don't have to climb ropes.
There's no physical fitness involved. I don't know. My sister asked if my niece and nephew could go. They've been wanting to do one, and they're 10 and 8. And I was like, they recommend like 12 and up. I mean, 12-year-old me could not have gotten half of what I accomplished at 31 years old in that room.
I'm 47 and really didn't accomplish too much.
I did more than you did. So yeah,
that's absolutely. That's because you're young. You have a sharp mind.
Yeah, but it was getting hot in there, and I just wanted to go in a corner and rock myself.
I was looking for donuts.
From 1910, I don't think they would have been good anymore. And then you've got our friend John McHouston, who would occasionally pop up on the video screen and belittle us and tell us how terrible we were doing with time running down, which didn't help matters. The hour clock's doing the hourglass is doing a good enough job, sir. We don't need you insulting us on top of things. But it's definitely a race against the clock the entire time. And
it goes quickly.
Yeah, an hour went by in a matter of 60 minutes. It was a matter of a few minutes, what it felt like.
I think we actually got an hour and a half, but hey.
I mean, it was like an hour 17, maybe. Okay.
Who's counting?
Yeah, yeah.
Again, we did go off the rails. So.
Well, we had already left the first room before we were supposed to, so we were doing really good. All right, Dennis. Well, we had a
very much fun.
Yes. So check it out: Deadbolt on Clifkuchen or Paradox on North Gloucester. Also, Corinth is called Corinth Escape Rooms,
and Get Out Starkville in Starkville.
Is that Get Out, comma Starkville, or
no? Just Get Out Starkville.
Get Out Starkville.
Get Out.
You would think that'd be located in Oxford. Dennis, thanks for joining us.
Welcome.
College football season unofficially begins this week, and the Daily Journal has you covered. Visit djournal.com all week for complete coverage of SEC football media days. Daily Journal reporters Parrish Alford, Logan Lowry, and John Davis will provide extensive coverage of all the news on Ole Miss and Mississippi State. They also will provide reports from the press conferences of all 14 SEC schools, including video interviews with players. Mississippi State players and coaches will meet with reporters on Tuesday morning, and Ole Miss will do so on Thursday. For a one-stop location of all of their coverage, visit djournal.com/SEC Media Days.
And be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is now over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol.
Well, let's go down to Jackson and talk with Bobby Harrison, our Capital Bureau Chief. How's it going, Bobby?
All right, Brad. How you doing?
Doing all right, sir. Word of the day, kids, is anomaly. you had a story in Sunday's Journal, Bobby, talking about tax collections and how they've been on the decline. And in the past when that's happened, it's kind of been related to the national economy, but not this year, Bobby. And so, it's an anomaly for the tax collections to be down in this current national economy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I use that word, Brad. All I can say is thank goodness for predicted tax on your computer. if you go back to 1970, there's only been three previous years when they were down year over year, that less taxes were collected than in the previous year. And the other three times it was during the midst of the recessions, and particularly in the, you know, it happened two times in a row during what we could know as the Great Recession in 2009 and 10. So it happened again this year in the recent, the budget year that was fiscal year that was finished on June 30th there. I think if you take out the Attorney General's lawsuit settlement monies, which are not recurring funds, you don't know if there's going to be any of that from year to year. But if you take that out, they were down $32 million. Or if you leave that in, they were down about $18 million. So they weren't down a lot. I mean, less than 1%, but still, it's very unusual for this to happen.
And Hob Bryan, the state senator from Amory, Democrat, he says a big reason for this is all the corporate tax cuts given by Republican leadership in recent years. And, of course, not surprisingly, the Republicans disagree with that. Tate Reeves, lieutenant governor, saying that that's not really the reason. So I guess this is going to be the sticking point, Bobby, and the Republicans are in charge, so these tax cuts will keep coming if they want. Is it a matter of you have to be patient for these tax cuts to pay off, or is it just a matter of a political perspective here?
Well, I mean, maybe they'll pay off at some point in time. They have yet to pay off. There's no arguing that the area that is down the most as far as year over year is corporate income tax collections. Right. They're down down significantly year over year. And matter of fact, they've dropped from percentage of the overall state revenue to on top of my head, it's in my story, from like 13% to 10%, which is a significant drop. And so, you know, the only other explanation other than tax cuts is the fact that we do have a significant oil economy, especially down in South Mississippi, and that suffered in recent years as the gasoline prices have dropped. So that could attribute to some of the drop in corporate tax collections too. But there's no doubt they're down. Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves blames, to a large extent, President Obama. But if you carry that out to its logical conclusion, President Obama, his policies are, he's doing more to hurt Mississippi than other states. So, I mean, maybe that's his intention. I don't know. I suspect it's not.
Yeah.
But, you know, this has not happened in other states. So, it's a point there. So we'll see how the, you know, there's bigger tax cuts set to go into effect in the coming year. So we'll see how all this plays out.
Yeah, I mean, the national economy is improving bit by bit. And you know, we had a story today from the AP that said the outlook, looking ahead, the outlook for state budgets in other states is maybe not so great. So I guess Mississippi has some company in that regard, Bobby. But, you know, when you're projecting revenue and whatnot for the future, it's kind of a guessing game, an educated guessing game, I guess. But just don't know if it's going to get better at this point. Although I do know Democrats have concerns about this coming fiscal year, don't they?
Yeah, they're starting a budget year. You know, they already admitted they made a $56 million. Their budget's $56 million too much for the current budget year, which started July 1st. And you know, there's if the revenue doesn't pick up, that's going to be a bigger hole. And then on top of that, their legislation that passed to try to transfer other money into the general fund, and that legislation might not do what it was supposed to do. So there's maybe, you know, some estimate the budget hole starting the new year's as much as $130 million. So if that's the case, it's going to be a difficult 2017 session in trying to budget for the new year and fill the deficit holes in the current year.
All right, we can read Bobby's story in Sunday's Journal or at djournal.com. Follow Bobby on Twitter at BobbyHarrison9. And again, check out Bobby on Capital View, our webcast today. You can watch the replay at djournal.com. Bobby, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can watch the webcast live at 11 a.m. at djournal.com. The podcast version drops later that day. You can listen to it for free on iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. And, of course, this week they're at SEC Media Days, so they'll have plenty to talk about from there. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Three buildings at the President's Gate apartment complex on Lawndale Drive were declared a menace to public health last week by the Tupelo City Council. That means the ownership of the property must take action to correct problems at the three buildings. The city believes the problems are so rampant that only demolition of the buildings can remedy the threat to public health and safety. The three buildings have been unoccupied for years.
Five new school buses will hit the road this fall in the Lee County School District. The Lee County School Board approved the purchase of four of the buses at its meeting last week. It had previously approved the purchase of another bus after receiving a grant to help with the cost. The five new buses will cost about $88,000 each for a total price of about $440,000. They will be distributed among the schools according to need. Lee County has about 120 buses that transport students to and from its 13 schools.
Furniture manufacturer Southern Motion has offered $9.3 million for Hancock Fabric's sprawling campus near Baldwin. Hancock said it has reached a purchase agreement with the Pontotoc-based company. The property includes 64.5 acres of land, a 650,000-square-foot warehouse and distribution facility, a 28,000-square-foot manufacturing facility, and an 80,000-square-foot headquarters building. Hancock Fabrics is in the process of liquidating and winding down its operations by the end of the month. It is unclear what Southern Motion plans to do with the building.
The number one ranked eater in the world devoured 41 slug burgers in Corinth on Saturday. Joey Jaws Chestnut captured the World Slug Burger Eating Championship in front of an energetic Corinth crowd. He also won the 4th of July hot dog eating contest in Coney Island, New York. So he's good for about a month. He doesn't need to eat anything else. Nope. The California resident nearly broke the contest record, which is 43 slug burgers in 10 minutes. He consumed 8 more slug burgers than he did last year.
Are those slug burgers like normal hamburger size?
No,
are
they're not tiny. They're not like crystal, but they're smaller.
Like sliders.
No, they're bigger than that. You ever had a Johnny's Burger?
No.
Is it that they're thinner?
Yeah, they're thinner.
Okay. Still, that's a lot of hamburger meat.
Yeah. Well, it's not hamburger meat. It's mostly flour. Well, you never had a slug burger?
No. So what's it made of?
Flour. It's mostly flour and a little bit of hamburger meat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's still a lot.
It's 41. It's light.
It's 41.
It's 41 of anything. It's too much.
Right.
Except popcorn.
Or M&M's.
Or the two together.
Maybe we should finish the news memo now.
Go for it.
The assessed value of properties across Lee County is up, according to preliminary numbers. That should mean an increase in revenue for local governments next fiscal year. The total increase is about $55 million across Lee County. That includes an increase of about $34 million within the boundaries of Tupelo. Increases can be driven by new construction, improvements to pre-existing structures, and the reappraisal of properties at higher values. The more precise final numbers should be determined early in August.
For more on those stories, head over to djournal.com, where we have recently removed our paywall, and now the website is free from the first click to the last. We've also increased our multimedia content by launching new products ranging from videos to webcasts. The website complements our print product, the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. There's no limit at what you can do at djournal.com. So come, stay a while, leave informed about the communities we serve.
Let's welcome in Michaela Morris, our health/medical reporter. How's it going?
It's good. How about you?
I have a question as a health and medical official. Could you identify what this is living in Brad's house?
My theory is small children smudge the window.
But no children have been in that room.
For 40 years.
That doesn't keep them from peeking in from the outside.
That's
small children.
Is.
Small children have messy
probably
hands.
Probably some kid trying to find a Pokemon. Hey, you got one in here? You got any?
That's probably what it is. Oh, boy. And my son was running around the neighborhood yesterday trying to find Pokemon. I guess you can find them just about anywhere. I don't know. Well, as long as I
stay
out of my
house. Just stay off a skateboard while you're looking for them.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. So anyway, we brought you in here not to talk about Pokemon or my haunted house. But about this youth program, kids that spending some time at the North Mississippi Medical Center volunteering for 3 weeks this summer.
Mm-hmm.
First off, what kind of things are they doing?
They're really helping out all over the hospital. Obviously, they are not providing direct patient care because
they're
not teenagers. But they're making copies, running errands. They'll walk patients to rooms. They'll go get folks cups of ice. You know, they're really, it gives the hospital staff extra sets of hands, but more importantly, it exposes young folks to what actually happens in a hospital and happens in taking care of people, that it isn't, you know.
It's not like you see on TV.
Yeah, it's not Grey's Anatomy where you're going to, you know, cure someone and be ready for a date in an hour.
Yeah.
You mean they lied to me for 14 seasons?
Or there's not some major event that happens like every season on that show.
Every May.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, there's
nobody
probably not going to be a murder in your hospital.
Yeah, probably not. We hope. Where was it going with this? Is it kind of like Candy Stripers? Kind of.
I mean, that's where the teen volunteer program actually originated. You know, 30, 40 years ago, that's where it would have. This year, they actually had equal numbers of girls and boys who wanted to participate in the program. Hmm. They saw more kids apply than they had room for. And this is really something they see in other kind of programs aimed at exposing high school students and college students to health careers. Yeah. There is tremendous interest. The program the Create Foundation does through the Toyota Wellspring Endowment mm-hmm. had 51 students in the spring. They have more applications for those classes than they have room for. And you saw the Mississippi Rural Medical Scholars, which is a immersive 5-week program for high school students. Mm-hmm. I believe 5 weeks. I might be wrong on the, but I think 5 weeks. But that's at the Mississippi State campus. They could fill that program 2 and 3 times over with the students that apply. So there's a lot of interest, and it's really important that young people who think they might be interested in healthcare get real on the ground exposure to what it's about. There's more than doctors and nurses. There's, you know, a huge range of careers that, you know, require everything from 7 to 10 years of post-college.
Yeah.
Training to programs that you can get, go to school and get a certificate for in a semester and everything in between there, and that you could get into the workforce and then continue your education, which actually a number of the folks we talked to actually participated in those kind of programs where they were certified as nursing assistants and had good paying jobs for a basic entry-level job, better than you would get at the college bookstore, and flexible hours so that they could earn money while they studied and they were having exposure in the field, so it helped them with their studies and really gave them a springboard to get into nursing or respiratory therapy. Yeah. Very helpful. But also, it isn't that we just need smart people in medicine. We also need people who are empathetic because you're going to be dealing with folks who are having the worst days of their lives. They're going to be grouchy. They're going to feel bad. And you've got to still be able to take care of them with kindness and consideration, even if they are being grouchy and ugly. Because none of us are at our best when we're hurting and we're scared.
Yeah.
And that's, especially in the hospital, that's what's happening for a lot of people.
Right.
So if you can't handle that kind of being kind to people who aren't necessarily being kind back to you, then you may need to do something different.
Don't try to be like House.
No.
Entertaining TV show, but
yeah,
that doesn't work.
No.
But as you noted in the story, I think you mentioned earlier, the numbers are up, and they keep going up for this program, which they're able to pinpoint a reason why?
Well, they've been, a lot of these programs have been built in or evolved over the past 15 to 20 years in a very organized way.
Yeah.
In part because people could see the demographic shift coming. You have the baby boomers retiring and therefore a smaller workforce at the same time because the baby boomers are moving into their 60s, 70s, and 80s, that you will have an even bigger demand for healthcare.
Yeah.
So especially, and they've already got shortages in a number of areas and geographic locations. So these kind of programs help them stay ahead because while there are great jobs available in healthcare, and some of them are somewhat easily accessible, they all need bright, empathetic people. They all need people who have a strong foundation in math and science, particularly in high school, so that you are ready. Because even these programs that are two-year programs at the community college level, they're competitive to get into, and they are really intense with the amount of information and skills that you have to consolidate in a short period of time. Yeah. So if you are trying, those are very difficult programs to catch up in. You've got to be able to swim as soon as you get into them. So they need kids that not only are interested in healthcare, but are building the foundation so they're ready to learn about these things. And then they have an idea about what they're really getting into. They're not just thinking, well, gosh, that looks great on TV and my pediatrician is nice to me, so I think that's what I want to do. Right. And then get into it and say, no, I don't want to do this, and then be left with nowhere to go. Yeah. They want students who have a sense of what it means to go into these careers,
right.
are committed to getting the training and then staying the course.
Yeah.
There's some indication that it is really helping our local hospitals and healthcare organizations, this kind of decade-plus focus we've seen in these areas, that it could be much tougher sledding than it is.
Yeah. All right, well, good stuff, Michaela. You can find her story in Sunday's Journal, a good long read there, and also at djournal.com. Michaela, thank you.
You're so welcome.
So anyway, I'm getting kind of hungry.
I'm sorry.
I'll talk of all those.
I'm Derek.
All those see, you sound like my daughter, Trinity, who just loves dad jokes. So every time somebody says something like that, I'm hungry, she'll go, hi, hungry, I'm Trinity, like without fail.
I'm so hungry. Hi, Mr. Hungry, can I call you so?
Nah. Yeah.
Stupid.
She loves dad jokes.
That's unfortunate.
She shares my sense of humor. Anyway.
You have a sense of humor?
Yes.
Hush. No.
I was going to tell a story real quick about last night, sitting out in the dark by the pool, drinking a beer.
With the ghost.
Put the beer down next to the chair. Mm-hmm. I go to pick it up at one point, and something slimy is on my finger.
Ectoplasm.
I was like, and threw it off of there. Looked down with my phone light, and there was a tiny slug. It had been crawling up my can.
Or was it the ghost?
I guess slugs like... No, I saw it was a slug. And I hate slugs.
Could have been the ghost.
So it was trying to get some of my beer, which it did not. So I finished that thing.
You didn't flick it into the beer?
No.
Then didn't drink it?
Then went and scrubbed my hands. Oh, slugs. Not as bad as cockroaches, but pretty close. At least slugs you can get away from pretty easy. And they don't fly.
They don't hurt you at all.
What's wrong with a slug?
Yeah.
It's just... They're gross. That's all slimy and gross.
Better than a caterpillar.
What's wrong with a caterpillar?
I got nothing against
caterpillars. Caterpillar hurts you.
What?
Oh, it won't.
It'll sting you. Have you never been stung by a caterpillar?
Never heard of that. I've had a caterpillar on my fingers. It's never stung me.
The ones in New Orleans do.
Well, that's New Orleans. Everything down there will sting you.
Everything in New Orleans hurts you. Let's just be honest
here. We have a different kind of caterpillar.
Well, anyway... We'll be back Wednesday. I'll have police reports on Wednesday.
You promise?
I promise. I'm looking at
him. The ghost is holding you hostage. If anybody hasn't heard from Brad in the next 36 hours, we might send out a search party.
I think the poltergeist probably knocked out my internet. That's what happened. Because the ceiling...
I think it knocked out your ceiling.
The ceiling fell in about the time the internet went out.
It's all encompassing. What about the washing machine?
Oh, who knows?
That went out before you left.
That was before
that
vacation.
Was the start. That was the start of her work before you left. And maybe. She's been up to no good. She's been... Putting slugs out by the pool, glowing lights in the window.
What's the movie? Do you know the movie mid-90s, maybe? Mm-hmm. Late 80s, where they move into a new house and everything goes wrong?
The Money Pit?
Could be.
Tom Hanks?
I think it is Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
That describes about half the horror movies out there.
That too.
Yeah. The Money Pit?
I don't know.
You've never seen The Money Pit?
No.
It's better than The Burbs.
Really?
Yes.
Because I love The Burbs.
It's better than The Burbs.
Wow, that's saying something.
Mm-hmm. I mean, everything goes wrong in that house.
Nice. Is it comedy?
It's good. Well, yeah. No, it's a documentary about your life right now, actually. So back on Wednesday?
Yep.
With the crime reports?
Mm-hmm.
We hope you're still with us.
No, I should be.
All right, well, we hope you're with us on Wednesday.
I'll try to be.
Yeah. Don't go on vacation or anything.
No, I'm out of vacation days, I think.
Did you get that? Is that on here?
Still got some sick days, though.
All right. Well, back again on Wednesday. In the meantime, check us out online at memo.djournal.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at djournalmemo and find out when new episodes are available. But if you're subscribed to us on podcatchers like iTunes or Satchel, they'll already download it automatically when new episodes are available every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So be sure to leave us a review and rate us on those different apps.
Podcatchers, as you said. Is that related to Pokemon Go? You use that to catch Pokemon?
No.
Is it Pokemon or Pokemons?
I've never done it.
I've never played it.
I call it pokers.
Pokemon is always kind
of annoying. I've officially turned into the old man, because if I see one of those kids coming up on my lawn trying to get a Pokemon, get out of my lawn! with your Pokies, whatever, and your MTV.
Why were you hitting the young man with a stick, sir? He was trying to find Pokemons on my property. I ain't got no dang Pokemon.
I chased him down with my golf
club. I ever see one of them Pokemons, I'm going to shoot it.
There's nothing in my house. All these kids are drunk. They think they're seeing creatures on my premises.
Okay.
All the stories we talked about today, except for Pokemon Go, you can find out more about them online, djournal.com, or read about them in your daily journal. Also, follow us on Twitter, @djournalnow.
I'm on Twitter, @BradLock.
Nobody cares. Yeah, back on Wednesday, brand new episode.
Okay, bye.
We'll see. Okay, bye.